Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The lesson for this evening is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sending forth of your Holy Spirit and the gift of your Holy Word by which you instruct us in the way of your truth. We pray tonight that you would bring each one of us before you with hearts of sincere repentance and comfort and cleanse us with the blood of your Son, our Savior. We pray it all in his saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's grace and his kindness and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. It has often been said that the most ugly human trait that there is arrogance. Arrogance. It's interesting, people will put up with a lot of very bad traits, like someone being late, or someone being a little lazy, or maybe somebody that doesn't talk too much, or maybe somebody that talks too much, or somebody that doesn't bathe enough. There are various bad traits that people will put up with, but among all of these, the one that people claim is the hardest to deal with in human beings is arrogance. Self-pride. It's the toughest thing to stomach. This self-pride is something that's deep inside of all of us because of our sinful human nature. There's something inside of me and inside of you that just wants to make sure that people see us in a good light. That people see us in as good a possible light as we can. And so at times, in order to accomplish this, we may be tempted to even lie a little bit to get that to happen. We may be tempted to shade the truth a little bit, or when we're telling a story or something, leave out the part that might make us not look so good. And we see this coming out in ourselves frequently. Or if we're being challenged by somebody with something that maybe we did wrong, that we immediately have to offer our reasoning for it and our justification for it to try to restore our status as quickly as possible. This is a natural tendency in us. It's rooted in our sinful pride to want to make ourselves look as good as possible to people. Even as Christians, you and I, by God's grace, having been given the gift of faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, coming to love and appreciate Christ as our Savior, and now having this built-in desire by faith that wants to follow His will and wants to obey His commandments and cares about what His Word says and so on, we can be very, very, the sanctification, you might say, the life of sanctification that's alive in God's people is something we can notice, even in ourselves. Sometimes we can notice these fruits of faith that have come out of us as God's children. But it doesn't take me very much for my sinful pride to grab a hold of those very same fruits of faith and to start holding them up to other people on campus or in my life and to start saying to myself, I wish there were other people that were as good as I am at this. Look at me. Look what I've done for the Lord. Just think what I've done for God. I've gone into the ministry. Just think how I have dedicated my life to God and His Word and His will. Just think how much I care about following God's commandments. If only there were other people out there like me. If only there were more students in the resident halls that had this same burning love for Christ that I do. God, I sure thank you I'm not like those other people that seem to care less about your word. I even go to Vespers. You don't have to look too far to find an opponent that you can beat in a morality contest. They're all around us, in the world and even inside of the Christian church. It doesn't take much to find somebody that we can stand and compare ourselves next to where we come out smelling a little bit better than they do. And even when it comes to talking about other people, whether it's verbally or just to ourselves in our heads, the criticism that we can have of others is often rooted and based in our pride, our sinful pride. Anytime that we do it with an attempt to put somebody down and to lower them in the eyes of others, it's really at the root of that is an attempt to exalt ourselves and to lift ourselves up, even when those thoughts aren't verbally expressed. They claim that one of the reasons that certain television shows are popular has to do with pride. One of the reasons that shows like The Bachelor and Bridezilla, for instance, they say, has popularity, or the Jerry Springer Show, or virtually other reality TV shows, one of the reasons they say that they have popularity is because people enjoy watching them to see what a train wreck other people's lives are and what they're like, so that they can sit there in the chair watching the show and think to themselves, well, I'm sure not like that. I am sure a lot better than she is. Look at how she's yelling at the caterer. This pride that comes out in us in very many ways can also be directed back toward God. We can find ourselves trying to minimize our sin in front of God or make excuses for it even in front of God. We learned this from our dad, our first dad, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. Think about when he fell away from God. His pride rose up and said, I know better than what God has told me. I'm not going to listen to God's word. I'm going to do what I want, which is really the essence of all sin. Pride, isn't it? I don't want to listen to what God says. I want to do what I want. And so in doing that, he brings sin and death into the world, completely alters the relationship between now God and man. And as God comes looking for him and finally pins him down in the Garden of Eden, what do we see Adam doing? His pride again rises up and has to defend himself and justify himself. The first thing he wants to do is deflect the shame that's coming his way, the judgment, and say it belongs to someone else. And then he tries to lie to minimize what his shame really is and what his guilt really is. You see, humility is something that is just not natural in us. Humility is something that we need to learn and be taught from God and His Word. It is so hard to bend the knee before God. It is so hard to bend the knee before God. And in our text for tonight, Peter warns us, God resists the proud. That's a pretty harsh statement if you think about it. It doesn't say he doesn't like it. God resists the proud. He holds them in abeyance, away. That is a stern warning to us. When you and I consider how tempted we are to let our pride just come out of us in so many different ways, we see what a contrast that is to our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, and the humility that he demonstrates in his very person and in his very mission and in how he deals with sinful humanity. You know, if anybody had anything to boast about, it was Christ. If anybody could always come out the best in a morality contest, it was Christ. If anybody had the right and the authority to speak badly of others and to point out all of their sins and their faults and so on, it was certainly Christ. But what do we hear about him instead in Philippians 2? Listen. He made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And he did that in order to put his body as a shield between you and that angry God that hates prideful people. He placed himself in harm's way so that just wrath of God would never touch you, so that you and I would be shielded from that by the gracious work of Christ. One of the greatest paradoxes of biblical Christianity, and you could say one of the great ironies about it, is this. You are the closest to God when you acknowledge before him just how far away from him you really are. Now that sounds crazy. But you are the closest to God when you in your heart acknowledge before him just how far away from him because of your sin you really are. In other words, when you realize how undeserving you are of God's grace, and the deeper you get in the realization of how undeserving you are of God's grace, you could not be more deserving of his grace than that at that point in time. God wants you and me to come before him with empty hands, without claiming anything. He wants you and me to come before him in humility and repentance, acknowledging not just some of our sins or certain sins, but all of them, all of it. Imagine, if you would, a young doctor, let's say in the 1800s, who had recently gone through medical school and had been trained in helping people, and he's all excited now. And he's just been given his first medical bag of equipment and medicine that he can go out and make house calls and so on. And as he's riding along in his buggy, he comes upon another accident that has taken place, another buggy that has fallen down, and there's a family there, a number of people who are hurt down below at this cliff. And suddenly, suddenly his very mission and purpose of being a doctor springs to life. Even though it's a horrific situation, it fills him with a rush of energy and excitement because this is exactly what he's been preparing for. This is the very mission that he's come to do and accomplish. This is why he has gone through all of this schooling and done what he's done. And he grabs his bag and he jumps down from the buggy and he goes running down the cliffside. And he immediately looks at all of the people who are hurt and he immediately wants to go to the one who needs his help the most. And he stoops down to help that individual. And no one at that moment could be more worthy of his mission, his life, his purpose, and his attention. The very Son of God has come into this world, and our lives are a wreck. And you and I, because of sin, even the pride inside of us, are laying wounded in the ditch. But the Lord Jesus Christ looks at you and me through the ministry of his word and sacrament. He looks at you and me, and he sees us as a great opportunity for the very reason he came into the world. The very thing that has sent him here, that caused him to go and suffer hell, was to rescue us and to help us and to give us the balm of his gospel. And he loves to rush to our side. And the more wounded you are in sin, the more deeply ashamed of your guilt and your sin that you are the first one on his list. You are the one at the top of his triage to come and find first. Because no one at that moment could be more deserving and in need of his attention. The Lord says to us, to the prophet Isaiah, "This is the one I esteem." That means that I hold highly. "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word." May the Lord continue to lift you up in due time. Amen. Amen. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thank you. servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true